It is our honor and our privilege to have Dr. Scott Caudle with us. He oversees, he's the president and director of Macedonia World Baptist Missions, oversees hundreds of missionaries and all around the world. Dr. Caudle's ministry, he and I caught up with one another 2 years ago, the first time we actually ever met. But the day we did, God knit our hearts, and he's just an amazing man. For about the last year and a half or so, a little over that, we have been giving towards Macedonia World Baptist Missions, not necessarily to support a missionary or certain missionaries, but we've been investing in the printing ministry there, getting gospel tracts all around the world. And I'm sure by now we're over 1 million gospel tracts out on the field right now, and I'm excited about that. I told Dr. Caudle, I said, I'm for putting missionaries on the field, but if they get there and don't have any bullets to shoot, I got a burden for this, so we're providing the bullets to shoot, amen? If you can only throw the gun, you got trouble, so you got to have bullets, and we're putting gospel tracts all in the hands of missionaries all around the world, and I'm excited about it. Here's a man. I had a great man of God that said this: greatness is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. And here's a man who has been in the ministry for decades. Here's a man who's been faithful. He's pastored several churches. Now for these many years, overseeing a worldwide missions program, getting the gospel around the world. You'll never meet sweeter people than Dr. and Mrs. Scott Caudle. But faithful, principled. They're true to that book right there. And I tell you what, we need a bucket load of men like Dr. Scott Caudle, and you'll learn to love him like I do, I promise you. Here's a very godly, spiritual, sweet man, and I love him. I'm glad to introduce him not only as a preacher, but as my friend. And I want you to hear him. Brother Caudle, come preach to us.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Well, take your Bible, if you would please, this morning and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, and in just a few moments, I'm going to begin reading in verse 12 of the chapter and be reading through verse number 21. Pastor, thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here this morning and this evening. Cassie and I are absolutely thrilled to be here. You've gone out of your way to make us feel welcome, and we're so appreciative for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, church, for the wonderful place to stay. You were so kind for the accommodations that you have so graciously provided. Cassie and I are so appreciative for that. Your pastor and your pastor's wife, they were kind enough to take us out for a wonderful meal last evening, and we had enjoyed a great time of fellowship together. The food was good. The fellowship was even better. And we are just absolutely thrilled to be here this morning. I also want to say thank you for your investment in sending the Word of God literally around the world. By the money you give every single month, our print shop is able to take that money and buy paper. And from that paper, literally millions. In fact, Pastor, we just sent those million gospel tracts. In fact, it was a little over 1 million gospel tracts that just went to Honduras. Well, Grace Baptist Church was a big part of that. We could not have done it without you. And therefore, only eternity will reveal the worth, the true worth of your investment that you're making in reaching souls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say more about this tonight, but maybe throughout the course of this afternoon, you can go to the web and log on to mwbm.org. That stands for Macedonia World Baptist Missions. There's a little 6-minute video right there on the front page of our website. Will allow you to become somewhat more acquainted with what the Lord has called us to do at Macedonia World Baptist Missions. Also, on the way out this morning, if you'd be so kind as to pick up a Focus on the Field magazine on the table that the preacher so graciously had provided for us this morning. These are absolutely free of charge, and this will allow you to focus on the field with us. Our field directors write these articles, and it will allow you to see for yourself how that God uses now our I think 121 missionary families around this world. Also, Cassie will be there to talk to you about the other things on the table. Since we have been in missions full time, God has worked through our CD sales to provide all of the gas for our vehicles. All of the songs I sing today are on the CDs. She also has jump drives for those of you that can afford a newer car that doesn't have a CD player. If you're anything like me, and the Lord knows I'm telling you the truth, I just got rid of a car not long ago that still had a cassette player. Do you remember that? I'm telling my age this morning, amen. Hey, I heard the preacher just got rid of one with an 8-track. Do you remember 8-track? Amen. I know. All right. Have you found your place in Romans chapter number 5? I love reading and studying through the book of Romans. Yes. It has been said, and I agree, the book of Romans is the most statesmanlike presentation of the gospel in all of the Bible. I believe you and I will witness such a presentation as we read this, the latter portion of Romans chapter number 5. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse 12, but we'll consider the chapter as a whole during the introduction to the message. And therefore, I trust you'll leave your Bibles handy this morning. We're going to be using them throughout the course of our study together. If you're able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, you've already met with us in such a wonderful way. My, how grateful I am to be here at Grace Baptist Church this morning. Now, Father, knit our hearts together as we consider thy word. Help us to know to make much of the Bible. For as we make much of the Bible, will the Bible make much of us. Help me, I pray. I'm nothing without you. Cleanse me of sin and self. Fill me with thy spirit, and I'll give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated. with the help of the Lord, and while zeroing in on this, the latter portion of Romans chapter number 5, I felt impressed of the Lord to preach on this thought. Grace that makes the case for world evangelism. Now, I've used that title because as we were blessed to read these verses of Scripture here in the latter portion of the chapter before us, I believe that is exactly what the Holy Spirit of God, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, has made us aware of. I believe here in the chapter before us, you and I see a picture of what God can and yes, even will do for any man, woman, boy, or girl that comes to him by faith for their soul's salvation. And therefore, I can most definitely assure you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, these verses of Scripture that I've been blessed to read within our hearing are certainly worthy of our consideration. Now, we're going to be zeroing in on the latter portion of the chapter, but just by way of introduction, I'm going to call your attention, if I may, to the chapter as a whole. I believe when you study Romans chapter 5, you'll discover that here, as the Apostle Paul was led of the Holy Ghost of God to do so, paints three glorious pictures that are worthy of our consideration. First of all, the first picture God uses Paul to paint is located in verses 1-5. Here in the first five verses of Romans chapter 5, we see a picture of God lifting us. And I say we see a picture of God lifting us because it is in this portion of Romans chapter 5 that Paul declares that the child of God has been justified by faith to the point that we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a glorious picture here in verses 1-5 of God lifting us. Now that brings us to the middle portion of the chapter. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6-11, we see the second picture that God is using Paul to paint here in the chapter. God is lifting us in verses 1-5, but here in verses 6-11, we see a picture of God loving us. In fact, verse number 8 of this chapter is not only one of my favorite verses of Scripture in Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8 is one of my favorite verses of Scripture in all of the Bible. Here the word of God says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, if you mark in your Bible, oh, listen, you ought to underline that word commendeth. You ought to circle that word. You ought to highlight that word commendeth. The word commendeth simply means to place on display. The word commendeth in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8 declares to both you and me this morning that God did much more than just say to a lost and dying world, "I love you." Now he did say it, but he did more than just say it. He commended it. He put his love on display. And if you're wondering this morning how that the thrice holy God of glory did that, let me assure you, John chapter number 3 and verse 16 says it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. No, God doesn't love the sin of the world, but God never ceases to love the sinners of the world. God doesn't love the drink, but he loves the drunkard. God doesn't love the drugs, but he loves the druggie. And Paul paints that picture right here in the middle portion of Romans chapter number 5. And so let's recap now before we zero in on the final portion of the chapter. The first picture is in the first five verses. It is a picture of God lifting us. The next picture in the chapter that God uses Paul to write, is in verses 6 through 11. God lifts us, verses 1 through 5, but in verses 6 through 11, God loves us. But now that brings us to the final portion of the chapter, the portion of this chapter that God has led our hearts to for the service this morning. Here we see a picture of God loosing us. We see a picture of God loosing us, children of God, from the power of sin. Now, let's take a few moments, shall we, and dig into the truths of the Word of God. If you'll look in verses 12, 13, and 14, here Paul speaks of sin. He speaks of sin's presence, first portion of verse 12. He speaks of sin's penalty, latter portion of verse 12. And in verses 13 and 14, Paul speaks of sin's power. He not only writes of the entrance of sin, but he is careful to write of the effect of sin as well. Paul, in verses 12, 13, and 14, speaks of sin. But then, beginning with verse number 15 of the chapter, Paul takes his speaking of sin to the next level. Now, Paul begins to study sin. And as Paul begins to study sin, according to the text before us, he declares emphatically and without apology that the solution for mankind's sin is salvation by grace through faith, not in what a mortal man has done, but in what Christ did by shedding his blood on the cruel cross of Calvary. And when Paul considered grace, he was inspired of the Holy Spirit of God to pen these words in verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But aren't you thankful that God butted in our lost, our hell-bound condition? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Can I tell you why I get a little bit excited when I read Romans chapter 5 and verse 20? Because this verse is a verse of scripture that assures me that my sin was great. But God's grace is greater. Romans chapter number 5 and verse 20 is a verse in our King James Bible that assures us that our sin is big. But God's grace is bigger. Our sin is high, but God's grace is higher. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a grace that makes the case for winning souls. It's a grace that makes the case for investing in gospel tracts that are being sent literally all over this world. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a grace that makes the case for world evangelism. Now, let me just take a few moments and share three truths with you directly from the Word of God. First of all, when I look into the latter portion of Romans chapter number 5, I see, number one, a problem that is universal. I see a problem, and that problem is universal. I've always found it interesting while studying the book of Romans that here in the latter portion of Romans chapter 5, Paul writes of a very real, and may I say a very relevant problem when it comes to mankind as a whole. I see a problem here, and that problem is universal. Can I show you the problem? Look, if you would please, in verse 12. Paul writes in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, And so death passed upon how many men? Somebody say it for me.
All
men. Not just a few.
No, sir.
Not just a certain group.
No,
not just a certain color.
No,
the Bible says, and so death passed upon how many men?
All
men, for that how many have sinned?
All
have sinned. Do you see the problem?
Yes, sir.
It is a personal problem in that it involves me. But wait a minute. It is a popular problem in that it involves you. It involves your neighbor. It involves the store clerk you're going to see tomorrow when you go to buy your groceries. It involves the bank teller. It involves the taxi cab driver. It involves your neighbor. It involves your friend. I see a problem here, and that problem is a sin problem.
Yes.
And that problem is a universal problem.
Yes, sir.
It involves all men. Now, let me stop right here long enough to ask you a question. How many of you would agree, whenever God mentions something one time in his Bible, it's certainly worthy of our consideration and attention. Amen? I mean, after all, this book that I hold in my hand, I have absolutely no reservation, no problem telling you that I believe with all that's within me, and I know your pastor agrees with what I'm getting ready to say. I believe this Bible is the inspired,
yes,
inerrant,
yes,
infallible, impeccable,
yes,
indestructible Word of the thrice holy God of glory.
Amen.
And if God said something in his Bible once, it would be worthy of our attention. Amen?
Amen.
But wait a minute. What if God says something over and over and over again?
Yes,
would you tend to think that maybe God wanted us to get a hold of what he was saying?
Right.
Well, in verse number 12... God inspired Paul to write about a problem that is universal, but not just in verse 12. God, listen, God is going to drive this point home. Look, if you would please, in verse 15. In verse 15 of the chapter, the Bible declares that through the offense of one, many are dead. God's still not through. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 teaches us that since one has sinned, the judgment was by one to condemnation. You see, you or I, either one, will never fully appreciate the superiority of grace until we first and foremost realize the severity of our problem. Hey, we got a problem, folks.
Yes, sir.
We got a problem. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 declares, since one man offended God, death reigned by one. There is a problem here, and that problem is universal. Look at verse 18. Verse number 18 declares that through the offense of one, judgment came upon how many men?
All
men to condemnation. God's still not through. Look at verse 19. Verse number 19 teaches us that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Are you getting it? God wants us to grab a hold of what he's saying here. There is a problem. It is a sin problem, and it affects you. It affects me. It not only affects every single one of us in this auditorium, but it affects every single individual that we're going to meet long after this service is over.
That's right.
Amen.
There is a problem, and that problem is universal. Now, having considered that truth from the text, let's address this question. Over and over again, here in the latter portion of Romans chapter number 5, the Bible speaks of one that sinned. The Bible speaks of one that offended. The Bible speaks of one that disobeyed God. Who is this one? And even more importantly, what does this one and this one's actions have to do with me? And for that matter, the world. Well, the Bible is abundantly clear. The one that sinned, the one that disobeyed, the one that offended God was our forefather Adam.
Yes, sir.
And when Adam, listen, and when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden as our forefather, he plunged mankind as a whole headlong into sin. That's why Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22 that in Adam all die, because the wages of sin is death. Brother, we got a problem. It is a sobering problem. It is a serious problem. We were born sinners. We inherited that sin from our forefather Adam. Hear me this Lord's day. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's why the Bible declares in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's why the world is in the shape it's in this morning. The world is as it is because we are as we are. We're all sinners. Through Adam, we all die. Through Adam, we're all sinners. Through Adam, we all fall short of the glory of God. It is a universal problem.
Yes, sir.
And if the message ended right there, we'd have no hope. No hope of heaven. No hope of redemption. No hope of glory. No hope of salvation. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, I got some real good news. The story doesn't end by simply revealing a problem that is universal. No, the same Bible that teaches us about a problem that is universal is the same Bible, secondly, that teaches us about a provision that is undeniable. Oh yes, the Word of God does teach us through one we all die. But the same Bible teaches us through another one there is the potential of not only having life, but having it more abundantly.
Yes.
So who is this other one? We know about Adam, but who is this other one? Well, Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, listen now, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
Paul went on to say in verse 45 of that same chapter, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And so this other one is Jesus.
Amen.
Paul spoke of him, the Lord Jesus, as being the last Adam. Sometimes he referred to him as being the second Adam. And when he spoke the words concerning the last Adam, he was speaking of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've always found it interesting, here in the latter portion of Romans chapter number 5, Paul, as he was led of the Lord to do so, begins to contrast the two. He begins to contrast the first Adam, now that's our great, 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 great granddaddy Adam, with the last Adam, the Lord Jesus. Do you see the contrast? Look at verse 15. Paul writes, for if through the offense of one many be dead,
Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. He begins to contrast the two again in verse 17. By writing, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. God's driving this point home. He's still not through. Look at verses 18 and 19. Therefore is by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Amen.
You know what God is saying here in these verses of Scripture? God is saying, boy, I tell you what, you folks down there in Martinsburg, you folks down there in Curtisville, you've got a problem. And that is a universal problem. It affects every single one of you. It affects the preacher all the way to the last pew. It affects every single one of you. But God said, but boy, do I ever have some good news for you. I've made provision for those of you with a serious, sobering problem. And if I wasn't so dignified, I believe I'd have to say hallelujah right there. Because the provision has been made. And that provision is Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. When you read and study your Bible, and when you consider these verses of Scripture in Romans chapter 5, biblically, scripturally, you can say it like this. The first Adam reigned over doomed humanity. But the last Adam reigns over delivered humanity.
Amen.
The first Adam, through the first Adam came the doom of sin. But through the second Adam, the last Adam, comes deliverance from sin. Through the first Adam comes a problem, and that problem is universal. But through the last Adam comes a provision, and that provision is undeniable. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let me encourage you. Maybe throughout the course of your own daily devotions this week, go back here in Romans chapter 5 and underline every time you see the word gift. The word gift is used 6 times in Romans chapter 5.
Yes.
You'll see it twice in verse 15. You'll see it twice in verse 16. You'll see it once in both verses 17 and 18. 6 times the word gift is mentioned in the text. Once you underline those 6 gifts, go back and underline the word grace. Just as the word gift is used 6 times, the word grace is used 6 times. You'll see it in verse 2, twice in verse 15, as well as in verses 17, 20, and 21. The number 6 in your King James Bible is the number of man. You know what God is saying? God is saying, man, you've got a problem, and it is a universal problem. But there is a provision that is made. The blood is still just as fresh and as powerful and as pertinent this very day as it was the moment Jesus said it on the cruel cross of Calvary. Now there is hope for the hopeless. There is help for the helpless. And that hope that helps is through and by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the first Adam, I should die. But since I've trusted Christ as my Savior, in the last Adam, I live.
Yes.
And by the way, I've been given so much more in the last Adam than I ever lost in the first Adam. While you're marking in your Bible, you ought to go back during your devotions this week and underline this phrase, much more.
Yes.
Much more. It's repeated several times in Romans chapter 5. Much more. I see it in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, watch your Bible, much more. The grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. I see the phrase much more in verse 17. Well, the Bible says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, and if the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And again, I see it in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, would to the Lord in glory we grab a hold of what the Bible is teaching us here. The Bible is teaching us, child of God, that you and I gained much more in Jesus than we ever lost in Adam. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a provision, and that provision is undeniable. And finally, and I'm through. You've listened so well. I understand why you hang around here for 10 years. These folks are wonderful to preach to. Praise the Lord. Finally, there are two possibilities that must be understood. First of all, there is the possibility of condemnation.
Yes, sir.
But if you hear this short, simple, sobering gospel message and you reject it and die in your sin and go to hell having done so, I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. You will go to hell out of the divine will of God.
Yes, sir.
Because 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 teaches us that God is not willing that any should perish. But there is the possibility, since God forces no man to be saved, of you rejecting this message and dying in your sin without Christ. There is the possibility of condemnation. But wait a minute. There is also the possibility of conversion.
Yes.
Amen.
There is the possibility of you hearing the gospel this morning and turning from your sin to the Savior.
Yes.
And trusting Him, the one that said in the book of John, chapter number 14 and verse 6, I am the way,
Yes. The
truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I feel impressed of the Lord to say this morning. Regardless of what you hear in this modern liberal media craze day in which we're living, there are not many ways to heaven. There is only one way.
Amen.
And I don't know that I could put it any plainer than what I'm getting ready to put it. You'll get to heaven through and by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, or you'll never get there.
Amen.
That's right.
But there is the possibility of you, having realized your need of a Savior, turning to the Lord Jesus and saying something like this. Lord Jesus, this Bible teaches me that I've got a problem. It's an inherited sin problem. Lord, I cannot change it on my own. I cannot work my way out of it. I cannot join the church and be baptized enough to work my way out of the problem. You see, I'm all for church membership and baptism, but I do those things because I have been saved,
Yes. Not
to be saved.
Amen.
Lord, I got a problem. Lord, I can't save myself. But you made a provision for me. And you teach me in your word that if I would turn to that provision, that you would cleanse me of sin and that you'd save my soul.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
There is the possibility of conversion this morning. Thank God for grace.
Yes, sir.
You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me? Lord Jesus, I love you so.
What a blessing this morning to have stood in this pulpit and to have been able to share the gospel with the precious people of the Grace Baptist Church. Lord, I know they didn't hear anything this morning that they haven't already heard multitudes of time from this pulpit. But Lord, I pray you would take these few thoughts and drive the point home. There has been a provision made for those that have this problem of sin. Lord, I don't know. I wonder if there is someone here this morning that has yet to be saved. Oh, Father, I pray that they would see the need to turn to you for their soul salvation this very morning while they have been given opportunity to do so. And I'll give you glory and honor.